And what's more, I fixed it so we can travel in the daytime. Here.
It's a slave handbill. Runaway named Jim, St. Jack's Plantation, New Orleans. $200 reward.
This way we can make out we're taking him down for the reward. And here. Here's my masterpiece. Look at that beautiful typography.
Shakespearean Revival, One Night Only.
The world-renowned tragedians, Edmund Kean, the elder of the Royal Haymarket Theatre, Puddin' Lane, London.
That's you.
And David Garrick, the younger of the Drury Lane Theatre.
That's me.
In the sublime Shakespearean spectacle, the balcony scene in Romeo and Juliet. Admission, 25 cents. Ladies and children, not admitted.
And if that don't get them, I don't know Arkansas. Well, Your Majesty, we got to rehearse some more. And we got to figure out some encores.
Yeah, well, what's encores, Bilgewater?
Never mind there, Dauphin. I've got one for you that'll just set this town back on its ear. Tonight, Majesty, the play's the thing.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. We will resume with Act Two after a brief pause for station identification.
We tied up at the next town, and the Duke went out and hired the courthouse and stuck up the bills. It weren't much of a town. The streets was mostly mud, and there hadn't been any paint on the houses since Columbus's time. The men stood around leaning on something and whittling. They spent most of their time barring tobacco like this.
Give me a chaw of tobacco, Hank. I ain't got but one chaw left. Ask Bill. He ain't got none. Let me one, Hank. I just this minute give my last to Ben Thompson.
You give him a chaw? So did your sister's cat's grandmother. When you pay me back all the chores I gov you ready?
I did pay you back some once.
About six chores. Barry store the backy and gov back homegrown.
What's that?
Somebody sicking dogs on a sow. Come on, let's go see.
Well, that's the way life went in that town. Turned out there was a circus that day, and along about noon there was quite a crowd, and somebody sets up a holler.
Hey, here comes old Boggs in from the country for his monthly drunk. Here it comes, boys!
Wonder who's you gonna chaw up this time?
Well, he never hurts nobody. He's the best-naturedest fool in Arkansas, drunk or sober.
I'm on the warpath, and the price of coffins is going to rise.
Oh, yeah, first time, boss.
I'm going to lay y'all out one at a time. But I'm going to get me Colonel Shebbone first.
Get him, boss.
Come on out of here, Colonel. Come on out, meet the man you swindled.
Hey, Colonel, come on out, boss.
Hey, where's that Shebbone? Come on, Shebbone, you're the hound I'm after. Go ahead,
hey,
you
come
two.
On, boss.
Where
come
is
boss.
That julep swigging old goat? He's as drunk and he done robbed me, y'all here? And I'm gonna fix it.
Hogs! It's the Colonel.
Well, there he is. I'm gonna fix it, Kurt.
I'm tired of this. I warned you last week not to open your mouth against me.
Get him, boss. Come on,
well,
I don't care. I'm a mean, tough grizzly, and I ain't the...
Boggs, stand back.
Colonel, you ain't gonna shoot me.
He killed him.
Old Boggs never done no harm.
What a good shepherd.
The idea of you're thinking you had pluck enough to lynch a man. If any real lynching's going to be done, it'll be done in proper Southern fashion. You'll come at night and bring your masks and plenty of liquor for quick courage. Now get out before I let go with this shotgun.
That crowd just broke apart and went every which way. And the colonel, he just shouldered his shotgun and marched away. Later on, I see two little children playing Boggs and the colonel and shooting each other down. And everybody said they done it perfect and gave him pennies. That's the kind of a town it was. That night we had our show. They finished Romeo and the Duke made an announcement.
And now, for an encore, Mr. Keene will perform the soliloquy from Hamlet.
A what? Some kind of ham. Now, sit still and listen.
To be or not to be, that is the question. That makes calamity of so long life. For who would fardels bear till Barnum Wood you come to Dunsinane? But that the fear of something after death murders the innocent sleep. Great nature's second course, and makes us rather sling the arrows of outrageous fortune. But stop you, the fair Ophelia. Ope not thy ponderous and marble jaws, but get thee to a nunnery. Go. Go.
Twenty-eight. Not bad for a one-night stand, eh, Majesty? Yeah. Shall we return to our boudoir and sample this here imperial nectar?
Well, Jock, now you're talking, Bilgewater, give her here.
Hook.
Yeah, Jim?
Don't it surprise you the way kings carry on?
No, I reckon it's in the breed.
But, Hook, these kings of irons are regular rascals. That's just what they is.
That's what I'm a-saying. They all is, mostly. Take old Henry VIII. My, you ought to seen him when he was in bloom.
What did he do, Hook?
Well, he used to marry a new wife every day and chop off her head come morning.
Ooh-wee.
And he'd do it just as indifferent as if he were ordering eggs. Fetch up Nell Gwynn, he'd say. And the next morning, wham. Compared to them old-time kings, honor a bunch of lambs.
I guess kings is kings.
Light for your pipe, Jim?
Oh. Thank you, Huck. You know, I was thinking, Huck. I was feeling real bad.
Why, Jim?
What makes me feel so bad is because I hear something over yonder, like a whack or a slam. A while ago, and it reminded me of the time I treated my little Elizabeth so ornery. She was only about 4 years old, and she took scarlet fever. And had a powerful rough spell. Then one day she's better. She just stand there and I say, shut the door. And she never done it. Just stood there kind of smiling. Make me mad. I said it again mighty loud. Shut the door. But just stood there. Same way, kind of smiling. Never paid me no mind. And then I fetched her slap side of the head, but she just stand there. Just then, along come the wind and slammed the door behind that child. Kablam! And she never moved. My breath most hopped right out of me. Then that door slammed again, and she don't never budge. Huck, I just bust out crying, I say, Lord God Almighty, Forgive poor old Jim, because he's never going to forgive himself as long as he lives. Huck, that little child, she was plumb deaf. And I'd been treating her so. And now I ain't never going to see my Elizabeth again. But maybe, Huck, maybe I'll buy her a freak. That's what I'll do. I'll buy her freak.
We was down south now. We begin to come on trees with Spanish moss hanging down, like long gray beards. The king and the duke were plumb out of money again. Finally, one town they tried selling fortunes, but they near got tarred and feathered. Next town after, they sent me up to buy a jug. And when I got back, there weren't nobody on the raft. Jim, the king, or the duke?
You looking for somebody, sonny?
Yeah, mister. You seen a slave somewhere abouts? Big fella.
Well, sir, they caught him a runaway.
No. A runaway?
Yeah. Down to Silas Phelps' place. They're holding him for the reward. You looking for him?
Nobody got hurt, did they? I mean, when they caught him.
No. And it's $200 reward for him. Like picking money out in the road.
It sure is. I wish I had it. Who nailed him, mister?
Oh, old fella, stranger. Sold his chance in the reward for $40 because he can't wait, had to get up river.
An old fella, huh, mister?
Yeah, old goat with whiskers. That's right, son. Had him a handbill with his slave's picture on it and all. Sold him for $40. Boy, if it was me, you bet I'd have took the whole $200. Yes, it's just like picking money out in the road.
I sat there watching the river and thinking till I wore my head sore. After all this long journey, them scoundrels had the heart to make Jim a slave again. And all for 40 dirty dollars. I thought maybe I should write the widow where Jim was so he could be with friends anyway. And then I thought it'd get around that Huck Finn helped the slave get his freedom. And I couldn't stand that. Then I got to thinking about our trip downriver. And Jim saying I was the only friend he had left in the world. I figured I might as well be good and wicked. And for a starter, I'd steal Jim out of slavery again. I started over to Phelps where the fella said they had Jim. It was all still and Sunday-like. When I got there, the dooryard was empty, and off in the slave cabin, I heard a spinning wheel humming, wailing along up and sinking down again. And I wished I was dead, for that's the lonesomest sound in the world. Then suddenly the dogs was piling out of the house. Hey, here you. Get down.
Here,
go on.
Here,
get down. Afternoon, ma'am. This Phelps?
Why, it's you. It's you at last, ain't it?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Why, you don't look at all like your mother said.
I don't.
Silas! Silas, come on out. It's Tom.
What's that?
Lord's sakes, I'm so glad to see you. Come on out here, Silas. It's your nephew, Tom. Come to see us. And us not setting eyes on it for 10 years.
Well, welcome, boy. We've been expecting you a couple of days or more. That riverboat running behind schedule again?
Well, it was,
Where's your baggage, Tom? Down to the steamboat landing?
I lost it when the boat went aground.
Land sakes, where'd she go aground?
Well...
Speak up, boy.
Well, it weren't the ground, and that didn't keep us back but a little.
Weren't the grounding? What was it, then?
We blowed a cylinder head.
Good gracious. Anybody hurt, Tom?
No, I'm just killed a deckhand.
Well, that's too bad about your baggage, but I reckon we can fix you up.
Oh, here we are running on, and you ain't told me a word about the family up the river.
I ain't.
Now you just sit down and tell me everything. Just all about them. Every last thing you can think of.
Well.
Cat got your tongue, boy?
No.
Why, son, you're standing like you don't know your own name.
Well, I...
Well, from what I heard, I never thought I'd see the day I'd hear stuttering and lollygagging from Tom Sawyer.
Well, ma'am... Tom Sawyer. By giants, I almost slumped through the floor. That's who they took me for. I told them more about my family, I mean the Sawyer family, than could have happened in a million years. Then I says to myself, suppose the real Tom comes down on the steamboat and sings out my name before I can throw him a wink to keep quiet. I was all in a sweat, so I told the folks I had to go into town to mail a letter. And there, coming up from the wharf, sure enough, I met Tom.
Huck, I never done you no harm. What'd you want to come back and haunt me for?
I ain't come back. I ain't been gone.
Honest Injun, you ain't a ghost?
Honest Injun.
Well, looky here. Weren't you even murdered at all?
Nah, I played on it.
Now, weren't that a grand adventure? Yes, sirree. What are you doing down here, Huck?
Listen, you won't tell nobody, Tom. There's a slave here I'm trying to steal out of slavery.
Huck!
His name's Jim. Old Widow Douglas is Jim.
What? Why, Jim is...
I know what you'll say. It's dirty, low-down business, but I don't care. I'm low-down, and all I want you to do is not let on. Will you, Tom?
Huck, I'll help you steal him.
No.
You tell me where he is.
Well, he's at your Uncle Silas's place. And that's another thing. I don't know what we're going to do. They think I'm Tom.
Well, that is gay. But never you mind, Huck. I'll tell him I'm my own brother. Sid, that's me. When it comes to adventures, you just leave everything to me. Looky here, Huck. I'll bet I know where Jim is.
No, where?
In that little hut down by the ash hopper. Didn't you see that slave woman going in with the victuals?
Well, suppose it was for a dog.
Part of it was watermelon. You never saw no dog eating watermelon. No, sir. That's where Jim is. And we deduced it real detective style.
Tommy, if I had a head like you and I wouldn't trade it off to be a duke, nor maid of a steamboat, nor clown in a circus.
It's nothing. Just observation. The trained eye. Well, Huck, how about a plan for stealing Jim off?
Suppose I get my raft upriver here. In the first dark night, we can steal the key out of the old man's britches and run off downriver the way Jim and we used to before. Wouldn't that plan work?
Work? Sure it'd work. But it's too blame simple.
What do you mean?
Why, that plan of yours ain't got no style at all. It's mild as goose milk. I've been reading all about escaped prisoners. You got to do these things right, with fancy touches. You leave everything to me, Huck. You meet me down by the ash hopper after dark, and we'll get started. Huck? Huck?
I'm right here, Tom.
Look at that old cabin, will you? A fortress, waiting to be stormed. Too bad there's no moat.
Looks like a rickety old shed to me. Hey, that window's only got one board nailed across. That's big enough for Jim to crawl out of.
I should hope we could find a more complicated way than that. We'll have to dig him out.
What? Tom Sawyer, are you crazy? You could pull the board off in that window with one hand.
If that ain't just like you, Huck Finn. Ain't you never read no books at all? Who ever heard of getting a prisoner loose in an old matey way like that?
All right, Tom. Now, don't take on. We dig him out.
You know, there ought to be a watchman to drug. And a saw to cut off Jim's chain.
Tom, you know right well that chain's only around the bedpost, and all we gotta do is lift the bed.
No, we gotta do it right. Saw the bed. Swallow the sawdust so no one can tell. And when you're ready, one kick and off you go. But he'll need a rope ladder, Huck.
Oh, Tom, how you talk. What in nation would he do with a rope ladder?
Well, I ain't figured that out yet. But he's got to have one. It's in all the books.
Well, I figured Tom knew what he was doing. Didn't make sense to me, but he kept talking about the man in the iron mask and Casanova and other book folks. So I just done what he told me and kept shut. He gave me a list of stuff to get. Well, I called it borrowing because that's what Pap called it. But Tom said it weren't borrowing, it was stealing.
Don't you know, Huck, that all state political prisoners steal the stuff to escape with?
But Jim ain't no political prisoner. He's nothing but a runaway slave.
You hush up, Huck. We gotta get this stuff into Jim.
I'll just rip the board off in that window.
Hold on. Didn't I say we gotta dig in? It's regulation.
Well, all right, if you say so.
Get your case knife out, Huck, and start.
Case knife? Since when ain't a pick and shovel good enough to dig out a runaway slave?
There ain't no other way I read but of case knives, and we gotta do it that way. It may take years and years.
Years?
Sure. Why, one of them prisoners in the Shadow Deef in Marcel's, why, it took him 38 years to escape. And he come out in China.
But Jim don't know anybody in China.
You did the other fella. Huck, why do you keep wandering off the main point?
Well, I don't know about them books, Tom. But I'll tell you, Jim's just too old to be dug out of there with case knives. He just won't last. I finally talked Tommy to using picks, but he said he let on it was case knives to keep the whole thing regular with the rules. In the meantime, old man Phelps wrote to the plantation down in New Orleans that Jim was supposed to have come off from. Of course, there weren't none. Then he began to talk about advertising Jim in the papers, and my blood run cold. Finally, I got Tom to agree to finish out the plan that night. But Tom, he added one more fancy touch. He wrote an anonymous letter to Uncle Silas warning him someone was trying to run Jim off. So when we come to get the captive loose, blamed if we didn't get the warmest reception I ever see.
There they go! Get them off!
Tom Sawyer, you and your anonymous letters.
Ain't it glorious? Keep down under the bush.
Where's Jim?
I'm right here, Huck.
Come on, we gotta cut for the river. Ready, Huck?
I don't like them shotguns.
Let's go.
There they go! They broke for the river!
Cast off, Huck.
Shove the raft out, Jim. There we go.
Yes, sir. Ooh-wee.
You're a free man again, Jim.
And it was a mighty good plan, Huck. I bet nobody could get up a plan what's more mixed up. Ain't that right, Tom?
Hey, what's the matter, Tom?
You hurt, honey?
Nothing much. I only got a bullet in my leg.
Well, here. Let me see. We got to stop this beating, Huck.
We got it. An elegant escape. Just as slick as nothing at all. Oh,
that leg don't look so good to me, Tom.
Well, Huck, the way it looks to me, if it was Tom being shot free and old Jim been shot, Tom would say, we got to get him to a doctor. Never mind about me. That's Tom Sawyer. And that's just what Jim going to say. If I got to be a slave the rest of my life, we're going to get Tom to a doctor.
Tom argued, but Jim and I was firm, and we pulled the raft in and towed him over to where we could find a doctor. Tom sent me off to scout around before the doctor come. And what did I do but bump right into Uncle Silas, shotgun and all. I lied some to get out of it, but they took me off home, and I didn't know what had happened or anything, till next morning when a wagon drove up to the door with a crowd of men around it.
Lord alive, what happened to you, boy?
Hey, Dr. Alden, what's wrong with him?
Hi there, Mr. Phelps. The youngster seems to have run into a bullet.
Oh!
Here now, easy, man. Oh. He's all right now.
Sure, Aunt Sally. Just limp a little.
And I brought you back the runaway slave.
We'll tie him up right this time. Why, I ought to take a lash.
Now, hold on. He's all right. Well, he could have got plumb away, but he stayed on to bring the boy to me so as I could doctor him. He was hiding in the bush, but the minute I said I'd need help somewhere, out he come. And he was risking his freedom for that.
Yeah, what I can't figure out is who left all them crazy notes and that rope ladder and the rest of that truck. This slave must have had an army helping him.
Well, no, Uncle Silas. We set the runaway slave free. Tom and me.
Good land.
Are you crazy, boy?
We done it. And we done it elegant, right out of the books, didn't we, Tom?
Well, yes, and we did.
Mercy sakes.
I never. Well, anyways, you're safe. We better shut him up and tie him up good. Come on, you.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Huck. Tom.
Hold on. You ain't got no right to shut up, Jim. He ain't no slave. He's as free as any critter walks this earth.
What?
Sure. Widow Douglas died 2 months ago and left Jim free in her will. Because she was ashamed, she said she'd sell him downriver. Why, he's as free as you are.
Then why on earth did you work so crazy hard to set him loose?
That's just like a woman. For the adventure of it, that's what.
Adventure? Why, Silas, if this boy didn't have a bullet hole, I'd have you tan the hide right off of him. Adventure! Whew.
Well, there it was, and pretty soon we had to own up that Tom was really Tom, and I was Huck Finn. And you should have seen Aunt Sally then, lads. Tom was for the three of us sneaking out to Injun territory to have some howling adventures.
I don't know, Tom. It don't sound so good to me.
I ain't got the money to buy the outfit. I figure Pap's drunk it all up by now anyways.
No, Huck. He ain't coming back no more.
What do you mean, Jim?
You remember that house was floating down the river, and there was a man in it covered up, and I didn't let you in? Well, Huck, the dead man in that house, that was your pa.
Well, now, I guess there ain't nothing more to tell about. And I'm rotten glad of it. Because if I'd known it was so much trouble, I wouldn't have tackled it. But I reckon I'll have to light out for Injun territory for the rest of them, because Aunt Sally says she's going to adopt me and civilize me, and I can't stand it. I've been there before.
You have heard Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, as adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Be with us again next week at the NBC Theater for a presentation of one of the classics among detective stories, E.C. Bentley's mystifying work, Trent's Last Case. The following week, we will return with another Mark Twain classic, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. In today's cast, Jerry Farber was Huck, Noreen Gamill was the Widow, Henry Blair was Tom, Felix Nelson was Jim, Lou Krugman was Pap, Parley Bear was Duke, Jack Crucian was King, Larry Dobkin was Boggs, Frank Gerstle was Sherburn, Georgia Backus was Sally, Charles Seal was Silas, and Anthony Barrett was Alden. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The NBC Theater is produced by Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Listen today as Sam Spade cuts another caper, and then stay tuned for Pierre Montour conducting the NBC Symphony Orchestra's summer concert with Dorothy Maynor as guest soloist. Right after the NBC Symphony, be sure to hear Lona Massey starred in Top Secret. Stay tuned here for the best in radio entertainment. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.